Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, as you might imagine, it's semi-panic time in Titanland based on the loss to the Steelers. Apparently, they cannot complete a forward pass anymore. We've spent so much time talking to you about Ryan Tannehill and being underrated in the league, and obviously there's a ton of injuries and things that are going wrong around him right now. What's been your view of Tannehill, and why do you think he's struggling as much as he is so far this year?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, the skill positions all season long have been injured. I mean, you take Derrick Henry off the team. You have, you know, the Julio experiment, unfortunately, has not worked out the way that I think anybody thought it would. He looks more like sort of the guy who ended up in Atlanta than, you know, someone who was ready to sort of have a second wind in his career. And, you know, the offensive line's been banged up. I guess if you're sitting there and you're saying, look, I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, it's just that all the pieces around him have been shuffled so much. But it is the NFL, too. And you can't have the turnovers. I mean, it was interesting kind of watching Tony Dungy on Sunday night really go in on Tannehill pretty hard, just about, you know, talking about the 13 turnovers and the 3 losses in the last 4 games. And I thought it was interesting, though. I don't know, someone on a broadcast, I heard them say, well, this isn't a Derrick Henry problem. It is a Derrick Henry problem, because when you take away the guy who creates the identity for a team and then you have to lean into a passing game, that creates all the opportunities for Ryan Tannehill to make mistakes, whether it's you know, fumbling snaps, whether it's throwing interceptions, whether it's, you know, putting more balls in the air that, you know, either are sailing, getting picked off, or bouncing off guys' hands. It's just shifting the team into an area where, you know, you don't want to have Ryan Tannehill carry the team for a long time. And, you know, look at the Colts right now. Everyone's on the Colts. Everybody loves the Colts. You know what the Colts don't want to do? They don't want to shift the offense onto Carson Wentz. And Tannehill's a better player than Carson Wentz, but I still think it's the same. When you talk about the identities of the two teams, it's still the same situation. Tannehill, you know, when he's had his positive moments, he's still not a player that I think you've ever wanted to have your offense completely built around and said, that's the guy that's going to take us to the Super Bowl. No, you take Tannehill to the Super Bowl. You can do that, but you don't want to have to shift everything on him and then, you know, also say, hey, make up for everybody else around you who's banged up or injured or not playing well.
So you mentioned the Colts. I look at the Colts kind of like I look at the Niners, Charles, you know, teams that had early season trouble and injuries, but really rounding the form and, you know, probably dangerous non-division winners in the postseason, specifically with the Niners. What are you seeing there? I mean, is this a team that could even make a deep run, you think, with everything they have going for them right now?
Yeah, I've compared them to the Titans when, you know, when we watched the Titans knock off the Ravens and, you know, beat the Patriots and, you know, have a postseason run and really feel like they were hitting their stride at the right time. That's kind of what the Colts are right now. And the what they are is very similar to like sort of the peak Mike Vrabel teams. Is, you know, it's a running team where they play very good defense. They have, you know, a great defensive coordinator in Indianapolis. And, you know, but again, they do have the fundamental flaw that when you look at them, you're like, okay, they win a lot of games when they don't have to lean a lot of the offense on Carson Wentz. And at some point, what's going to happen when that has to change? And you know, can Carson Wentz come up big in spots in the postseason and win a game or two for the Colts down the stretch? I don't know if you know that's going to be the case. And look, they're playing really well now. There's no doubt they're in a groove. You know, they've beaten what you would presume to be a lot of playoff teams. You know, you look at Buffalo, Tampa, you know, they lose to Tampa Bay, but I mean, they played Tampa Bay really tough. They trounced Buffalo, you know, to beat the Patriots. It's an imperfect season. I'm curious now to see week 16, you know, versus the Cardinals. I kind of thought, well, that's the referendum on, you know, whether or not the Colts can be, you know, a team that can make a full-on Super Bowl run. Now, I don't know. I mean, the Cardinals lost to Detroit, and I don't know what this is. Just
why is that funny?
There's no team anymore that we can't count on anybody. So, I guess, you know, for the Colts, that is one of the upsides of this season. That I don't know that really there's anybody. We're back to Kansas City, you know, now thinking that maybe this is the team that's the best team in the AFC. But look, I'm not a big fan of teams that sit there and go, well, we hope we don't have to have our quarterback, you know, have to play a big game or throw 30 passes or 35 passes in a game in this era of the NFL. It's the same reason I kind of, you know, I got killed because I said, hey, Mac Jones, I don't know what's going to happen if you get into the postseason and the Patriots got to make a run. What's going to happen when Mac Jones has to throw 40, you know, 40 times in the playoffs? And people, you know, jumped on me because they're like, look at these games where he's thrown 40 passes in the regular season. I'm like, haven't we learned, like, that particularly the tail end of a season and the postseason is not like the regular season? Well, what happened when Mac Jones had to throw against the Colts? Well, we saw, you know, it was a playoff, you know, caliber game, and he made some mistakes, and it cost them. Carson Wentz is going to do the same thing to the Colts. So, you know, it's as much as I like the Colts, I don't like teams that have rookie quarterbacks or guys that you're afraid to throw.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, how big a deal in your mind is the loss of Chris Godwin for the season for the Bucs with the ACL injury?
I mean, you know, he's a Robert Woods-esque loss. You know, we saw the Rams and how big of an impact that was. I think the question now becomes, can Antonio Brown sort of fill that spot? We've seen Odell Beckham Jr. expand his role with the Rams, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know, it looks like you've got a guy there who can step in and fill some of that void. Now we have to see if Antonio Brown can do that. I think it's more likely that Antonio Brown can step in and do it for the Buccaneers. But, I mean, you're talking about it's just a massive, you know, deep part of the field guy you're losing. Big locker room guy. It casts a little bit of a pall over the team because you have guys in that locker room sitting there going, man, this guy was, you know, headed to free agency. He'd come back on the, you know, the franchise tag and was setting himself up. And then this, you know, this knee injury happens. And, you know, I think guys from a business standpoint are really bummed out for him. I think, you know, the coaches are bummed out for him. He's a great, great locker room guy for them. And frankly, you know, it puts the Buccaneers into a spot where I kind of joked that Antonio Brown, you know, had all the leverage despite the vaccination card stuff and the suspension. I was like, oh, he's, you know, he's holding all the cards because they need him. Well, now he's dealing too. he's holding the cards. He's dealing the cards. He's running the casino because they need that guy more than ever. And I guess if you're the Buccaneers, the plus is he's absolutely still a star caliber player. He's got a great relationship with Tom Brady. And this is probably exactly the kind of scenario that Antonio Brown is going to thrive on because he's sitting there going, okay, this is my shot to come back in, star the rest of the season, potentially be the number one wideout on this team because Tom trusts him that much. And, oh, by the way, in his mind, he's always thinking, okay, now I'm going to go next free agent contract. I'm going to sign another big deal. Like, even though, his career is what it is now, I know, his thought process is always, I'm about to win everything and go out and score another big deal. So it's weird how the NFL works, man, just to see a guy who, you would have thought when the whole vaccination card thing happens, you're like, geez, I can't imagine something that makes the guy more cuttable than this. And instead, it's the exact opposite. He's in the best position he's been in since probably he signed that contract with the now the Las Vegas Raiders.
And that history has changed, according to Bruce Arians. So,
yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Here's the thing, though. At least Arians was honest, okay? Like, he could have, said, made up a bunch of stuff, but he said the truth. It's what's best for the team, and I don't care what people outside think. That's the truth. It is what's best for the team. He didn't lie about it. And I think when we talked about before, and I made the joke about, hey, Tom Brady's not going to cut him, that's what it was going to come down to. They just want to win a Super Bowl. They want to repeat. That's it, period. And so they'll put up with all his stuff. And I'll give Arians, he did say one thing that is true. He said, hey, history has changed since he got here. I made the comment about, he told Peter King, it's sort of, he makes one mistake and he's gone. Well, there's also been a new, period of history where he's been, under their roof. Arians has coached him. He has not been problematic for them since he's gotten there. So in Arians' mind, he says, well, hey, he influenced the ability to give himself a little bit of leeway here. But I think the most honest statement he made was, look, this was the best for the team. And this is the NFL, folks. It's always going to be like this. It's the same reason why, they basically just canceled COVID testing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's always going to be what's best for the team, the operation moving forward and winning games, making money. It's the corporation. Just live with it. It's how it functions.
Well, that was my next question, actually, on the COVID pivot, let's call it. What do you think of that, and where do you think things are headed?
The new honor system.
Yeah, there you go.
For the most part, I mean, it's the vaccination cards are an honor system. Like, we're hoping nobody fakes them. Now it's like, hey, if you feel like you might have COVID, hopefully you tell us. it's not surprising to me because really interesting last week. So it would have been, it was before Monday Night Football kicked off. I called around and I talked to some different front offices, GMs, about more about the Rams. And kind of, I was like, hey, we're going to see a game tonight where this looks like it's going to be a playoff game and the Rams are missing some guys. And it was funny because you had these teams. So it was like everybody I talked to, there's very blasé about it. Hey, people are living their lives. There's going to be some positive tests, whatever. And then it just exploded. And it was interesting because one of those front offices I talked to was one of these teams that got racked. And it just how the attitude shifted from, hey, guys are just living their lives, we're going to have to deal with this. And then it turned into, I think, from not only the teams but also the players, just – let's just stop. Like, enough. Guys seem to feel like they're healthy. Why are we have asymptomatic players who are sitting on the sidelines and they could be out there playing. Someone from the union said a great thing to me. They said, you know what? The football people won. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, the football coaches and the players won. Like, this is what they wanted. And you can only stand in their way for so long. And the union's sitting there just flabbergasted because they're like, we just fought for this for so long to try and test and keep people safe and do everything we could. And I think what was most interesting in all this was the union felt like the players turned on, like they, and someone used the word mutiny. They're like, we've almost had a mutiny here where players are just like, we don't want this anymore. We don't want anything. We don't want any protocols. We don't want any testing. We basically don't want to talk about COVID ever again. And the union's just sitting there like, what do we do in this situation where the membership's just completely turned? And the reason why, not only the games were postponed, but also we've seen this big change, is because you had players who were like, okay, if we're going to keep doing this and you're going to sideline a bunch of us who feel like we can play, we're just not going to go out and play. The Rams actually, players had a conversation last week about, we're not going on the field. We're just not going to go on the field. We're not going to play. And that's as close as you've ever seen to a team, like a little mini strike, like a strike. And, you know, the league office, they can trot Sills out there and say whatever they want, Dr. Sills, and here's what the science is, and here's how things change. But at the end of the day, the league office is sitting there going, we can't have this. We can't keep suspending guys, or not suspending, you know, we can't keep sitting guys down with you know, COVID-positive infection who are asymptomatic, say they can go out and play. And now these guys are like, okay, well, if you're going to sit us all down and we have to roster a team of 35 guys effectively, we're just not going to go out there anymore. That's how this is going to be. So that's how we ended up where we are. I think I saw a doctor after this came down said, you know what? What this means is everybody in the NFL is going to end up with Omicron. Everyone's going to end up with COVID. This is what's going to happen. And whatever the fallout is from that, I guess history will look back and reflect on it. I don't disagree with that. I think it's probably a reality that most everybody in the NFL, just considering most people are now vaccinated, people are on the honor system and can get Omicron and can spread it, will do so. And they'll spread it to unvaccinated players. They'll spread it to staffers. And we'll see. We'll see ultimately what happens in the long run. But I guess went through all this to get to this point. It's sort of an interesting time in history with the NFL, and I'm very curious to ultimately see where they look stacked up against some of these other leagues that are saying, "Hey, we're going to pause the season," or you know, try to limit, continue to limit this thing.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, thanks as always. Hope you and your family enjoy this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Have a safe and happy holidays, guys. I really appreciate it, and everybody listening as well. I hope everybody enjoys it and stays safe. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Charles. We appreciate you. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Charles had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is Downtown Dollars gift card for $150 that's only $100 to you. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of downtown Nashville shops with restaurants and more. With Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at an old favorite or discover one of the many new destinations in downtown's growing neighborhoods. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We are live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're going to be joined here in about 8 minutes or so by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Looking forward to that conversation coming up. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. Does the Chris Godwin injury change the way you view Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers? They were relatively healthy heading into the playoffs last year. They got on a roll. Chris Godwin, obviously a big part of what they do. You do have Antonio Brown to come in, which is a luxury most teams don't have. Mike Evans with a hamstring injury. I would assume by the time the playoffs are around, he'll be back and ready to go. So how much does the Chris Godwin injury change the way you view that team? Does it at all?
Yeah, well, definitely. No, it changes it. I mean, he's been their best receiver this year, period. So, and Mike Evans, you know, Mike Evans, a little bit of a disappointing season, I guess. So he's going to have to do more. Antonio Brown's going to be huge. I mean, if they didn't have Antonio Brown, if there was a different decision made earlier on Antonio Brown or something, you know, that they'd be in tough shape. So good for them that they've got Antonio Brown. He's a talented player.
Very talented. Like the idea of a big contract for him, like it's not gonna happen, right? Nobody's getting Antonio Brown a big contract.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There was a few years ago we thought Tyreek Hill was going to be out of the league. So
well, he's 33.
Yeah. Big? I guess it depends on what your definition of big is, you know, but some kind of deal. Yeah, I guess I'm a little down on Mike Evans. I mean, 64 for 900 yards. Godwin, you know, is 98 catches, 1,100 yards. Between them, 16 touchdowns. You know, you're losing a lot with Chris Godwin. Brown steps in there. He's going to have a bigger role. You still have, obviously, Gronk and Brate. I mean, the backs are good. What was the Fournette injury again? They had so many the other night.
Was his hamstring or was his knee? I can't remember. I need to go. I'll look it up.
I mean, Godwin, obviously, it turns out to be worst-case scenario. And that was borderline dirty hit, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Brady is not happy about it.
You know, it was – like, I don't think he was targeting the knee, but it was a very hard low hit that can create stuff like that. So it was borderline.
Well, Brady was talking about – I guess he was on some podcast talking about, you know, you can't hit a quarterback in the knee or you can't hit a quarterback low, can't hit a defensive back low in a block anymore. But receivers just get tagged in the knee all the time. I mean, I hear what he's saying there. And, you know, Collinsworth was talking about this on the broadcast Sunday night of, you know, go ask any player. They'd rather get hit right in the head than in the knee. And I understand that. But, like, you got to be able to hit the receiver somewhere if you're a defender. Like, you already can't hit him high. Like, you got to be able to hit him somewhere. Like, it can't just be you have to hit him in between the numbers every time.
No,
but you're not going to be able to play defensive football.
No, but I mean, like with a quarterback, for example, even if you just go wrap up the legs, that can be a penalty. But
right.
You can do that to a ball carrier instead of helmet to the knee.
Right.
That caves in his, you know, makes his leg bend back the other way. I mean, it's, you know, yes, it's all geared to help the offense, but there is safety as part of it too. But as far as the Bucs, I still think that they're going to be right there. Yeah, their defense is still good. They're going to be right there. I think we're looking at Bucks Packers again, and I'm going to guess the Packers get them this time. To your excitement, but we'll see.
It is exciting. I'm still very nervous.
Well, you should be. It's not supposed to be easy, man.
The Pharaoh, he scares me, man. I'll be honest. Seen that guy a lot of times in the playoffs. Play pretty well. It's pretty good.
Yes. No, he's the GOAT. Who just scored no points in a game, but
he did move down on Rex Rhodes' list this week from number one to number five, I believe, is what you told me before the show. Is that where you have him? Five?
No, I've got him. I've got him number one.
Okay.
Okay. Come on. Dan Fouts was underrated, though.
Dan Fouts is a great quarterback. Need to get him back on the show. We hadn't talked to Dan Fouts in like a year.
I know. He probably misses that. I thought we were going to do a regular segment with Dan Fouts.
When we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And that music can mean only one thing. It's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. C. Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing pretty good. Just kind of hanging out here with the kids and just enjoying a nice, beautiful morning in Nashville.
That's right, buddy. Well, it's an unexpected week off for us that are in the hockey world, and not something anybody wants to see, but something, unfortunately, that is just a part of the times we're living in right now. What do you make of kind of the way things are going in the NHL right now, the league about to pause through the holiday break, and how do you think this affects things as they move forward here for the rest of the season, trying to be as safe as possible, but also trying to get in 82 games as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know anything, obviously, what's out there right now, but I would think the NHL might go to something similar as the NFL did with their protocols. I'm not sure. I just feel like, you know, sports usually follow each other in a lot of those regards. And
yep.
If they find it's good to go and it's safe to do so, because from what I'm hearing, a lot of the players in all these sports are asymptomatic or very, very mild at the most. So I think they're just going to test symptomatic players. But we'll see if the NHL goes that route. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's just been, you know, it's been a wild ride here, and unfortunately, it brings back a lot of memories of a couple of years ago, Chris. Yeah. But it does seem like this variant is weaker. I mean, that's the one good thing. As far as this particular team and the run they're on right now, I mean, there are much worse things about COVID than, you know, you're on a hot streak and you got to pause. But, you know, how could that, I guess, affect the Preds, considering they were playing such great hockey and now they've got to just, you know, sit around for a while?
Well, I think it's exactly, you know, they'll have to kind of recreate that. They'll come back feeling good about what they've done, obviously, in the way that they were playing, but it'll have to be, you know, it'll have to be remanufactured, I guess, if that's even a word. But, you know, because that feeling when you're running and you're rolling and you have that energy and that vibe, as Robbie would say. And
that's right.
Trademark. Sorry, Robbie, a trademark. I owe you for that. But no, but you know, when you have that feeling and then you stop, it's like, well, they're not going to skate. And then they've opened up, I guess, the skating. So you will skate on the 26th. It's tough, but I guess everyone's got to do it. So it's just a little bit like starting over, though. That's the only tough thing when you're rolling like the Preds were.
See, Mace, I was talking to Adam Vingan about this yesterday, and it's been pretty incredible to watch UC Soros. Like, the conversation I had, you know, talking about Soros heading into the season was, I think he's going to be really good. There's no way to me he can sustain what he did in the second half of last season. And I guess if you look strictly at the numbers, he's not quite there where he was in the second half of last season. He's pretty darn close, though. I mean, the guy is incredible. How has he been able not only to play at this level, but to sustain what he's doing from your eyes?
Because he is really, really good. That's the answer. He's just that good. You know, there's certain guys in the league, and, you know, whoever you want to say your top five is, and you put Vasilevsky out there, obviously, and, you know, whoever else is in that conversation. But Soros is that good. He is one of the best goalies in the league, whether you, you know, put him on a team that doesn't defend well, or you put him on a team that does. He's just a good goaltender. And I think, you know, we're all starting to see that because of the body of work, the consistency, the role that he's in now. You know, he's going on, you know, almost a full season worth of being a starter, and he's been able to handle that workload. But we know how good he is now, and he's just that good. And that's, is he going to get better? You know, I don't know. How can you get better, really? But I think, you know, honestly, like, you look at his numbers, and you mentioned, Robbie, last season, that second half, that was historic, you know, video game numbers. And now he's, you know, whatever he is, top five kind of numbers. But we watch the game in and out. It's, you know, he keeps these guys in the game. He's just a really good goaltender. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, I think back like 5 years ago, of course, back then it was like, wait, can Soros be protected, you know, in the expansion draft? But, you know, he was obviously young, backup, emerging. You could see the talent and the ability, and he's grown since then. But, you know, then it's like there was a leap after, you know, after the bubble against Arizona. Like, would you say this has just been sort of like steady growth, or has he figured some things out here in the last year and a half, Chris, that have just taken him to another level?
Well, I think it's been like steady growth, and there's always been those pockets where, you know, in his younger years or whatever, when you see him, you're just like, man, this kid's unreal. Like, he's going to be good. But you never know until somebody gets in that role, right? Because it's tough to be, I'd say, consistent all the time when you're playing once every couple weeks or once a week. So there was those little pockets where you're like, oh, okay, you know, he used to get off to slow starts. You know, that was his thing. But he's never really the guy at the beginning of the season. Maybe last year, you know, he'd split with Pekka or whatever. And as the year went on, we know how that went. But I feel like I've always felt he is going to be an unbelievable goaltender, just because I can appreciate what he does and how easy he makes the position look. And, you know, that's, to me, is the best guys in the world can make that position look easy when it's not. And he's one of the best in the world at doing that. So, but again, like you said, Joe, you never know until they get into the starting position, because mentally it changes the game a lot. So I knew he had the talent, but you never know if he's got the, you know, mental fortitude to handle that, you know, position and that light. when it shines bright on you, when you're the guy and there's no one behind you, but he's thrived in it. So he's impressive.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, what can you say about Colton Sissons? I mean, obviously, the last two games the Preds played on Thursday night last week and Friday, you're dealing with a ton of people out of the lineup due to COVID. Colton Sissons steps up and is basically the number one center and has three assists on Thursday, scores a big goal on Friday. What can you say about the job that he was able to do, and also just that ability to be able to play different roles with a group and not only play them, but excel while playing them? How hard is that to do?
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, you know, there's a lot of storylines this year and a lot of people we talk about, but I really don't think Colton Sissons ever gets the love and the appreciation that he deserves, because I just look back at the last few years of this team. Any time they've dealt with injuries, major injuries, and he gets moved up and down the lineup or whatever the situation, he's always stepping up. He's always making an impact. He's helping them endure whatever situation they have to deal with, whether it was in the playoffs, whether it was before they made that cup run, when they just have a bunch of injuries. He goes up, he goes on the power play, does the penalty kill, he's taking 100 face-offs. Whatever is asked of him, he does. And he's asked, you know, somebody needs to step up and get, you know, score more goals or get more points or create offense. So he does that. You know, he's one of these guys that every level that he's played, his coaches commend his leadership and his ability to step up and be that player. He's, you know, that 200-foot player that can give you whatever you need at any given time. He's just such a valuable piece of this team. And, you know, with all the other good stuff going on, I think sometimes we forget to mention Colton Sissons, but I'm glad you brought him up, and obviously for good reason for what he did the last little while here. So such a valuable player for the team.
The production, but then he played half the last two games.
Yeah. You know,
it's incredible.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah. So if there's one thing during this time, C-Mace, that, you know, you'd like to see them, I mean, they're playing so well, but, you know, like to see them tighten up or improve a little bit, what would it be?
Honestly, it's tough because I think they're playing really good hockey right now. I don't think there's a lot to tighten up. Maybe, you know, there's, I guess on the road trip, that New York swing, they swept it, but I felt like sometimes it took them a while to get going in their game. But, you know, against Chicago, they came out hard, and last couple of games, I just think it's more of the same. And then if you get your bodies healthy, and who knows what's going to happen at the trade deadline, I just like this team's makeup and the way they play. I feel there's a lot of teams having success out there that aren't built for playoffs, but I feel this team is, they have that makeup, and, you know, maybe a couple adds at the deadline or not. I don't know. I think this team could give some teams some trouble in the playoffs. But I would like one thing, now that I was rambling on there, less stick penalties. I think there's a few too many of those lately. So there it is. That's my.
There you go. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. C. Mace, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Merry Christmas to you and your family this week. Hope you all have a great time, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to you. Hope you guys have a great holiday, and all listeners, you as well. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. We'll come back. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Tuesday morning. It is Christmas week. Michelle coming back in with some Christmas music.
There's going to be a lot tomorrow because it'll be my last day this week. It's going to be a lot of Christmas music tomorrow.
Okay. Can we talk about some that we shouldn't play and some that we should?
Okay, what have we got, Joe? Let's hear it. Do you have any ones that you hate?
Not really, but I have some that people hate that I like. Like, I like the Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time. A lot of people hate that song.
It's brutal.
Love it.
Brutal.
And also, I like Last Christmas by Wham, and I don't care what you say about it.
Listen, I like all of them.
It's a jam.
I like all of them.
Yeah?
I love the Rudolph one, which I can't think of right now.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Oh, yeah. Well, that I can't think of the tune. I just know I love it.
You want to know the most overrated Christmas song of all time? And I'm going to get crushed for this, but I don't even care. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. I can't stand
Robbie.
It.
Robbie.
I can't do it. It's terrible.
Yeah, I'm lukewarm on that one. It was what was the movie that was it Love Actually? Yeah, was that the movie that's at the end of?
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of brought it back to really be played a ton, and it's been played a ton.
Maybe that's why I don't like it, because it's everywhere.
It didn't used to be everywhere, and now, because it's not. I mean, it's not new. I mean,
no,
you recorded that a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I hate any.
See, then we're gonna have a great day music wise, bump wise tomorrow. Everybody texting your favorite Christmas songs. I'll play them all. But sorry, Robbie, that one will be played once.
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, that's amazing.
Underrated. Yeah,
that's underrated. Yes. Okay.
Put it on loop.
Yeah.
Rex Road Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Wow. Going immediately to Joe.
It fits.
Chris texting in, Little Drummer Boy, 100 thumbs down. Mele Kalikimaka, 100 thumbs up. It's coming from Chris on the text line.
Okay. I would agree that I like that one better than, but yeah, come on. A Little Drummer Boy, come on. What's the problem?
I don't know.
Oh, I love the On the First Day of Christmas. That one's good, but it's not really like a song.
The 12 Days of Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell him Babbitt song names, movie names, TV names, all that?
I can't think of Mele Kalikimaka without, it's Christmas Vacation every time.
Oh,
it's just
absolutely.
Clark staring out the window every time.
No.
Imagining the pool. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, great movie. We're getting, I watch it at least once every Christmas. We're getting close. Probably tomorrow night, be the time I toss on some Christmas Vacation.
And you're also,
go through a little movie kick on Christmas time.
Are you also a hater of A Christmas Story, too?
No.
Okay,
good. I love that movie. In fact, I watched some of it the other day.
Yeah, that one, that people get more and more angry about that movie.
Fragile.
And I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, it's classic. Come on. How do you hate that movie? You don't have to watch it all, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it 24 hours straight.
Right, but I'll watch it once a year.
Yeah. There are most Christmas movies I actually enjoy. Most of them. Watched Jingle All the Way the other day with Big Arnold in there.
Yeah, see,
good stuff.
I haven't seen that one.
Apparently,
never seen that one.
They made a Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy. I've not checked that one out yet.
Really?
It's on Christmas on the Disney Plus.
Isn't there like an Ernest Christmas
probably
movie
that
too?
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure there's
Ernest. Ernest everything.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Ernest Christmas
Nothing
one.
Quite compares to Ernest Scared Stupid. It's one of the great movies of all time, which I believe parts of that movie were actually filmed in East Nashville.
Okay.
Nice. More you know.
There you go.
I don't know how we got on Ernest.
We've gone down the rabbit hole of Ernest.
Oh, there's a lot of people. Oh, well, I will agree with this. Santa Baby, awful. Just absolutely terrible.
Oh.
That text that Santa Baby is unbearable and uncomfortable to listen to.
it's not
good.
I got no problem at all with that song.
I like that one.
Yeah,
come on.
Good with that song.
I think we should just like them all and just be happy that holidays are here.
Well, like everything and like everyone.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do on that.
Glass half full over here.
That's right.
Thanks to C-Mace for coming on with us. If you missed it, NHL is taking a pause. So they are scheduled to play tonight. I think they've got two games tonight. They're going to play tonight as long as things go well, and then they're going on pause starting tomorrow through, I believe, the 26th at 2 o'clock is when you can come back in the building. So 2 o'clock, I guess, Eastern time. I haven't looked to see exactly what that looks like. But the Predators are scheduled to play on the 27th, so better have a long, hard skate on the 26th, I guess. It's going on a long time with them not being on the ice.
Lay off those cookies.
Yeah.
It's hard for me, but I'm okay if I hit them. You can't hit them.
That's right. It's a tough one.
The snickerdoodles.
Self-control, Rex Road. Yeah. Self-control.
It won't be good.
By the way, on that front, on the NHL front, it looks like there is some news on the Olympics, and I don't think this is a big surprise at this point, but Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff putting it out there says, quote, no surprise, but NHL and NHLPA are in agreement that NHL players will not participate in the Beijing 2022 Olympics. Once they notify the IOC, an official announcement will come perhaps as soon as today, maybe later this week. Now the question is, will the Olympics be postponed to 2023? This is coming from Frank Saravalli, and again, Rex Road, I don't think a huge surprise that NHL players aren't going. Once Connor McDavid started throwing up some red flags, I thought that means some things when Connor McDavid is saying really anything. because he doesn't say anything ever. But I paid attention then. It really sucks because you and I have talked a lot about how much fun NHL players in the Olympics are, how much I think it grows the game, and looks like that's not happening this time around.
Yeah, it's. I was really excited about I love Olympic hockey when the pros are involved. It's an unbelievable tournament. Really stinks. It's another, you know, it's another thing that COVID has taken away, essentially. Now I'm going to assume that that Olympic break now becomes makeup game central.
I would assume so. I mean, you're getting to the point now. There's a lot of games that have been postponed, and the schedule was already pretty tight anyway to accommodate the Olympic break. So I don't know. I really don't know how you make up all these games without using the Olympic break at this point, which is probably a lot of where this decision comes from anyway. I mean, there's the COVID part of it, obviously, and we've talked about the protocols. The idea of getting stuck in China for 5 weeks does not sound fun. Sure. So that's the big part of this, but I'm sure NHL was looking around like, guys, we know we told y'all can go. There's a risk to it. We understand all that, but like, you also have a day job, and I don't know how we're going to play these games if y'all go. Like, it just, at some point, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, how many back-to-backs can you cram into, you know, March
right. And
April? Yeah, so from that perspective, it should make the solutions easier to the issues now, but yeah, it's just too bad.
It's too bad, and, you know, I guess I've not really thought about the idea of postponing the Olympics to 2023. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I mean, there is way more to the Olympics than just hockey, but I would imagine this is not the only sport in the Winter Olympics that's going through this and making some decisions. So I guess stay tuned on the Olympics front in Beijing as well to see what happens there.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, we saw that happen once already. So that would be tough if the Olympics get moved again. But, hey, I mean, I guess glass half full approach. Hopefully, if it does get moved to 2023, NHL players can go play then, maybe. Maybe.
Well,
we'll see.
That'd be the upside I'd look at if it happens. But it's just, you think about the train, you know, there's so much that goes into all of it. So it'd be very disruptive, but that would be, yeah, one possibility. I'm sure these guys, if you could be in a window of time where it's not, a virus doesn't have a variant that's flying around like it is right now, then they would probably go.
We found another Christmas song that I hate. Baby, It's Cold Outside. Can't stand that one either.
Robbie, these apparently
there's
good.
A lot that I don't like.
Robbie, these are good ones.
Nah, it was not good.
See, I actually like that song, but the movie Elf kind of beat that one to death. So that's the thing, is sometimes movies will take a song and overdo them.
I disagree.
You got Will Ferrell, though, you know, singing in the shower. Well, very bizarre scene. She's just trying to take a shower at work, you know.
Well, on that note, that's going to do it for us today.
I hope you've all seen the movie.
We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.